Berkey Plains and RC here, operating at 2.4 gigahertz, and got my coffee today. McCafe coffee, actually. Yep, I made a stop at McDonald's this morning, which I do every now and then, and picked me up a sausage egg McMuffin meal and a coffee to drink with there. So I must say, they have completely screwed up the whole name of that. I don't know if anybody's paid attention to that or if it's just me. Usually I catch little weird things like this, but it's a sausage egg McMuffin. That's what I call it. They have changed it at some point to sausage McMuffin with egg or something like that. And it's just like, no, it's a freaking sausage egg McMuffin. It's not a sausage McMuffin with egg. It's just, it's so much longer to say. You know, it's like, why do they change that crap? Yeah, I don't know. I'll quit ranting there. I actually used to be all about the like McDonald's burritos and stuff. Like back in the day, they had the McSkillet burrito, and that thing was absolutely amazing. It was glorious. I'm telling you. And then I sort of switched over to, they got rid of that. Sad to say. And then I started getting like just our normal sausage burritos, which weren't as good, but they were okay. But then I started making the transition to be a little more health conscious and started going with the McMuffins, per recommendation of my mother, who is a very wise woman and, tries to be good in terms of health and stuff. And, she said that she'd always get the McMuffins if she ever went through there because they were better for you. And I started doing that as well. So I started getting the McMuffins. And I like them pretty good. I've gotten used to them. And, you know, I've been doing other things as well to sort of be a little more health conscious. I have lost, a pretty good amount of weight. It's been a slow, slow process. It's been like probably the course of the past 5-6 months, give or take, that I've really kind of been just slowly, you know, losing weight and making some changes to my diet, trying to be a little more better about that kind of stuff. And I've down about 30 or, well, actually about 40 pounds from what I originally was. So, big thing for that really has helped me, I think, especially in terms of just the food thing was good. I'm trying to watch myself there, but I've also completely dropped pop. Used to be a big Diet Mountain Dew drinker. Now I'm strictly just coffee and water. I'll have a pop occasionally, but if I do, it's generally a diet pop or something like that, which I know is still not that great, but hey. So yeah, trying to be a little more health conscious too. Okay, so I had realized that my last episode, I would say and define as being very structured. I had kind of outlined the episode, outlined what I was going to talk about, just because I know I'd probably get rambling and I would probably go off on 20 million tangents or 20 million different routes. I try to keep it organized, okay? And for that episode, talking about beginning into the hobby with RC airplanes and stuff, that's fully understandable to sort of try to be very very structured, right? So because you don't want to, you want to try to keep it pretty structured for somebody who's new, and so they kind of understand, you know, things. So I fully get it in that case to try to be structured with the episode. I have decided that for any remaining episodes, unless there's a reason to change it, what I'm basically going to do is just pick an RC topic and go with it. So if I want to spend one episode talking about ailerons and control surfaces, then we'll talk about ailerons and control surfaces that day. And just go with that. So, that's what we're going to kind of do. And just go with that, and probably leave any kind of structure out. unless I feel it's something that needs to be structured and discussed a little bit. So that's what we're going to do. It's going to be very random, kind of like my first episode, but we're at least going to have a topic to talk about, okay? Sorry, I'm getting a sip of coffee there. So, yes, we're just going to pick a random topic. Some of these I might very well just determine ahead of time what the topic's going to be. Other times I might just say, I don't have anything planned. Let's just talk about this today. You know, that kind of thing. So, I have already thought about a topic for today. And that is going to be called, or basically the topic today is the price of the hobby. Because I know that is one of those things that makes the hobby very unapproachable. Okay. When you're talking hundreds and, you know, $100, $200, $300, whatever, to get started on a hobby that you may or may not stick with. That's a kind of a high price for something that you have a chance of maybe not sticking with, right? So we're going to talk about the price of the hobby and just how it applies to people and all that. I want to mention this ahead of time. My wife, if you are listening, this episode is completely irrelevant to you, and you don't need to know how much I spend on the hobby. So please just go on to the next episode, honey. Okay, we can talk about we don't need to talk about the price. We don't need to talk about the stuff that I get. All right. There's no reason for you to listen, honey. This is a very boring episode. You don't need to know how much things cost. You don't need to know that information. No. Just go on. I kid. I know that there are guys out there, literally, that will spend pretty good money on this hobby, and they will hide their shipments from their wife. One of those kinds of stories where the wife walks in to see the guy's planes. Hey, when did you get that one? Oh, honey, I've had that one for years. You just never seen it. You know, that kind of thing, right? the guys that sit there and post on Facebook, you know, hey, look what I just got shipped today. Wife doesn't know about it. I'm going to stick it in the garage so she doesn't see it. You know, that kind of thing. So this kind of stuff does happen. When you're on social media and in these groups, you see stuff like that. And guys actually are very open and say, yes, I bought this. The wife doesn't know about it. It cost me $500, but it's okay. It's all right. It's for fun. You know, that kind of stuff. So I know that happens out there. Now, actually, I don't really, to be honest with you, I'm very frugal when it comes to the hobby. I don't spend tons and tons and tons. I mean, I do. I mean, I'm sure I've spent my fair share, but here's how I look at it. Give me $1,000. I will spend $1,000 on about 10 or 20 mediocre planes. And some people will spend $1,000 on one airplane. There's a difference there. That's just how I work. I would rather buy a quantity more than one big quality one, right? That's just how I look at things. But so anyways, let me get back to the price situation, the price thing here. When I first started in the hobby, and this was years ago when I was a teenager, for a basic trainer airplane with the radio and with all the accessories you need, you're looking probably about $300 to get started. Okay. $300. And that was for an airplane that was probably about as big as I am. I mean, about 5-6 foot wingspan, all that. You had to have a radio because radios back in those days didn't really come with one. Radios didn't come with the plane. You had to actually buy the radio separately. But, you know, the salesman there would really kind of talk you into a certain setup that would work. So you everything was kind of, you know, together, but you still had to buy the radio separate. So yeah, $300 roughly to get started in the hobby. Okay. And back in those days, there was no electric. I mean, I don't think it might've been in its infancy at that point and probably was not ready for main use. It was probably very bad. That's what I've heard at least. But back in that day, it was glow engine. and nitro, which with a glow and nitro engine, you need fuel, you need the glow plug igniter, you need a whole bunch of accessories to even get the thing to go. So, yeah, definitely kind of costly back in those days. Fast forward to now, you could probably literally go onto Amazon. You could buy a completely ready-to-fly airplane package for probably $50. Now, the only catch with that is that, you know, it is all electric now, you know, rechargeable battery, the whole nine yards. And the big catch with that, though, is that the plane size is smaller. You're talking something that is probably, the wingspan is probably 15 to 20 inches, whereas back in the day it was 5 and 6 foot. So 15 to 20 inches for a little plane, and you get the transmitter and you get all the, you know, the charging, the batteries and charger and all that stuff with it. Okay. So you have that. Now, the only thing is, of course, when you get a plane that small, you have to be very, very careful in the wind. The wind is terrible for little planes like that. Okay. So that's what you have to watch out for. But otherwise you can have success and enjoy the hobby for as little as $50. Okay. And that's a completely ready to fly airplane too. That's not just something you have to sit there and tinker with and build and all that. So, I know when I kind of had my little thing of getting back into the hobby, you know, many, many years later, I bought that Hobby Zone Champ and, it was $100. And that was with everything. That was the plane, the transmitter, the batteries and all that stuff. So, you know, definitely more affordable than what it used to be. And it really just depends, on the person. Like I'm very frugal. I try to spend as little as possible. Like I said, give me $1,000 and I'll buy 20 planes, you know, 20 so-so mediocre airplanes for that instead of just one. And there are people out there that do that. You know, there are people that are, you know, they'll have 5 or 6 airplanes, but each one is worth $2,000 a piece, you know. And these are like the bigger airplanes, you know, gasoline engines, you know, big 20-inch props and things like that. Those are the big guys. You know, those are the big, like, you know, big things. So, you know, some people are into that kind of stuff. And that's completely cool, you know. You know, just as long as you're enjoying the hobby however you want, that's fine. And if you got the money to do that kind of stuff, go right ahead. So that's fine. That's just not my cup of tea because, number one, I can't afford that. But, you know, I try to be frugal with the hobby, like I said. And I think the cost has went down to a point where it's more approachable. Back then, you couldn't, you know, back then, $300 to get in the hobby, that's a lot. Especially for something that has a very high potential of getting crashed your first time, you know. And nothing will frustrate you more than having all that money into an airplane and you crashing it on your first flight, okay? Now, granted, you should have things like someone to help you, you know, train to learn how to fly it and everything. I mean, that's good, but, you know, sometimes that may not always be available and you might have to learn yourself, you know. But, you know, again, that still is a very likely thing, you know, very, that's a very likely thing to happen is, you know, your first time, you may very well crash the thing. And like I said, it's going to suck if you spend that much money into it to have it crash. And in a lot of cases, that's actually how people leave the hobby too, because they spend all that money on a plane. They are so proud of it that they don't take the time to learn how to do it, end up crashing the thing and get frustrated and leave. You know, that's a very common story with the hobby. But like I said, if you spend $50 on an airplane and you crash it, not a big deal, right? Not a big deal at all. It's an easier pill to swallow in that case, right? So, if you listen to my last episode, I talked about the importance of buying a high wing airplane for your first time, because those things are much easier to fly and much better for beginners. Because if you're a beginner and you spend $50 on a little ready to fly jet, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to have problems. You're going to crash it 9 times out of 10, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So good thing to always buy a trainer or a high wing, you know, for those first times. But let's get back, we'll get back to Price here for a second. So, yes, Price has definitely made it very, it's made it more approachable now. Like I said, you can spend $50 on a cheap little airplane to get started, and spending that little on it is definitely going to help you if you happen to have a bad experience the first time. So, the price has definitely, you know, helped a lot over the years where it's went down, and especially this transition to electric flight. You know, because it's no different than charging your cell phone. You just, you know, plug this little battery in, charge it. And there is, of course, some safety concerns with that, you know, with the battery and everything. But just charge that battery up and pop on your airplane and you're ready to go, right? So it just makes you feel better when you got so little invested in it for, you know, what may or may not be a good experience in the first time. So, but yeah, the cost of things is interesting. Like I said, you know, you got that $50 airplane that's ready to fly and all that kind of stuff. And then you have like people like companies like Flight Test, for example, which is one that I follow pretty heavily. They have a completely different approach to it, and it's still about being on a budget with a hobby for sure. But their approach is, of course, is actually building the airplanes. You actually build the airplane out of foam board, which is a cheap material. You can use barbecue skewers, popsicle sticks, you know, stuff like that as well to help build your model. So you might only have $5 or $10 invested in just the airplane itself. You still got to buy the electronics, which usually electronics are a little more expensive. You know, depending if you're just going for a smaller park flyer airplane, $50 to $70 just for your main core electronics. You know, the assuming you actually have the transmitter, we'll just assume you have that already. $50 to $70 for your motor, your propeller, your ESC, receiver, servos, you know, something about like that to sort of get started. So when you break it down, you know, it's almost the cost of that $50 ready to fly airplane, basically. So, but it's more of a, it's a more in-depth approach where you're actually building the thing. You're actually building the airplane. But still, you know, like I said, the material cost there alone is just very, very reasonable. For, you know, $5-$10 just to build the airframe itself, and then you put your electronics to it, you know, much easier pill to swallow. So, but yeah, the price. So my wife can probably rest easy that, like I said, I'm very frugal with the hobby. I try to spend things as cheaply as possible, or look for the best deals that I can possibly find to enjoy myself in the hobby. So there's no need for me to have to sneak too much around. Right. But, so yeah, I think the price is one of those things that does affect things a little bit. And it doesn't help either right now too, that, prices of everything are going up anyways. I mean, you can't buy a loaf of bread for what you used to be able to pay. So, gotta love it. Sarcasm there, of course. So, but yeah, the price of the hobby, it's just one of those things that, it's there. And I said, if you're one of those people that's on a budget, there's definitely some options out there, for doing it cheaply if you're wanting to get started. So, but, and actually a funny story too, on the topic, and this actually came up by accident. It was just one of those weird, quirky things that I, had noticed one time. I was out at the airfield, out my RC field, and, we pretty much have two different sides of the airfield. Where the main stations are, so basically we have the main, building in the center. That's kind of like that's where we have our meetings and that's where some things are stored and stuff like that. So we have this little central building that we all kind of have our meeting in, and on either side of that building is these two like, covered, little covered shelter kind of things. Okay. And Much like if you go to school or go to church or whatever, you have a place that you like to sit, and that's it. You don't want to sit a different place every time. You always tend to go to one side, or you know, one seat or whatever. It's the same way with the field. But for me, I always go towards the one side. I just always have. I very rarely go to the other side. Just, you know, I mean, I'll go over and chit chat with the guys or something, but I most always stay on the side that I've have always preferred. Okay. And funny story is, I was out in the field one day and one of the guys was like, he kind of basically says, oh yeah, this is the poor side over here. And that's the expensive side over there. And I was like, he so nailed that. Like, that was like perfect. Like, I never thought about it, but it was very true. The side that I was on was the poor side. And we're all just sitting there, you know, we're just guys that don't have a lot of money. We can't afford the super, super nice stuff, but we still enjoy what we enjoy, and we still have fun with what we're doing. And, you know, we have our own little collections of planes and helicopters and whatever else. And then the other side, yeah, those guys have the higher price stuff over there, right? So, but I was just like, that is so true, man. Like, I never thought about that. I picked the poor side. I thought that was so funny. But like I said, you know, it's just like one of them things where I picked my spot and that was it. And sure enough, I fit in with them guys pretty well over there too, because I'm poor too. So, but yeah, it's funny. So the price of the hobby, like I said, it's much more approachable now. You can get a plane for as little as $50 that's ready to fly and everything. You can do a DIY approach and spend $50 and you know, have the same kind of thing. But yeah, it's funny how the price of the hobby has sort of went down, like in terms of cost. It used to be hundreds of dollars. Now you can do it for as little as about 50 to 100. So, buying secondhand is a wonderful thing. If you got some guys at the club, or if you just happen to browse the internet and Facebook and see someone trying to sell an airplane, maybe it's one that you're wanting to get, right? And it's $200 or $300 brand new. You might be able to get it secondhand for $100, $150. You know, so you got things like that. So that makes things very approachable as well when you can just buy secondhand. I know some people too that are very, very particular on brands. Okay, they won't buy anything off brand. They won't buy any, you know, like Chinese made stuff, or they won't buy any cheaper stuff. And I'll speak from experience here on this. I've bought the cheap stuff and I kind of know its limits decently enough. And I try to be reasonable with the stuff I have. You know, if something is rated at a certain, if the electronics are rated at a certain amperage, like the power, you know, the power system, for example, you know, if it only can put out about 30 amps for the motor or whatever, I try to fly within those specs. I don't try to push it hard. And I can tell you so far, I've been successful with that. I haven't had any major issues or anything like that. So I know people might make a big deal about the cheaper electronics, but I think as long as you keep it in check, then I think you'd be fine if you happen to go the cheaper electronic route. Now, obviously, I would not put a cheap component into an expensive plane. I would not do that. So, just some things to think about. But if you've got a real cheap airframe and something you don't care to trash around a little bit, fly around a little bit, you know, the cheap components, I don't think are that big of a deal, you know, at all. Like I said, as long as you're reasonable with it, as long as you don't push it too far and too hard, I think you'd be fine. So, hobbies come a long way in terms of price and the approachableness of it. So, we're supposed to be getting some thunderstorms rolling in here pretty soon too. I haven't heard them yet, but I'm sure it's going to happen soon. If you guys have any questions or anything in regarding price or anything, you know, please reach out to me and let me know. I can try to help as much as I can. But like I said, I'm a very frugal guy. I buy cheap stuff. I'm not going to lie. I buy cheap stuff. I buy secondhand stuff. I like having a little bit of something that I can put life back into. That's just how I operate. Yeah, I'm one of those that if I saw an airplane that somebody had trashed and put it in the trash can, and I felt like there was some potential with it, I would probably pick it out of the trash can. I probably would. That's just the kind of person I am. I've known guys that bought an old outdated airplane for $50. Maybe it was still running FM or AM frequencies. They didn't care. They bought the whole thing, and they were completely content with that. So it just goes to show you, you know, you can find that kind of stuff out there. So, I think this episode's gonna be a little bit shorter today. I think I've kind of reached the end of my thing here, and I've got some stuff I need to do, but again, like I said, if anybody has any questions out there about price and the hobby and all that kind of stuff, I can try to help you out as far as finding something that works in your budget, all that kind of stuff. But it's just kind of funny how price is with things, because it used to be one of the things that kept people out of the hobby, I think, is because it was so expensive. And it's like nowadays, you know, nowadays it's like, I don't think some people would want to invest that much into a hobby that there's, you know, that there's a possibility that they could have problems, you know? And so when you have something that's like, hey, here's a plane for $50 and, you can teach yourself to fly with it, I think you're pretty good shape there. But price in the hobby, price in the hobby. Yeah. That's one of those things where it's completely up to you and what your budget is. If your budget can allow a couple $100 for a first plane and go right ahead and do it. There are some good beginner options out there that are a little more expensive too. And they're probably, you know, just as good as the $50 ones as well. So, but it's up to you. It's up to you what you're willing to spend, and all that kind of stuff. So, all right, guys. Well, I'm gonna wrap it up. Like I said, it's a little shorter today. Hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. I'm gonna keep on doing it from time to time, or at least try to get an episode out every week or two to talk about very random things and what's on my mind and all that good stuff. And have some topics and everything. Like I said, if you have any questions, please let me know. And please check out Perky Planes and RC on YouTube. That's kind of where all this started, really. It was on YouTube. So you can check me out there, as well as here on this podcast. On a little side note, I'm trying to end the episode and I'm wanting to keep talking about stuff. First of all, I hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. I really am. Second thing is, something else I want to mention too is there's just been a change within myself. I don't know how to define this, but I feel like over the past, I don't know, 6 to 8 months, maybe a year, I've been feeling really down about trying to enjoy the hobby again, trying to get out and enjoy the hobby and stuff. A lot of that's where we moved and got a new house and everything, and changing radios mid everything else and all this kind of stuff. But I really feel like I've changed. I really feel like that this year I'm more focused on flight. I want to get back out and do some more flying, all that. I've been using my RC simulator a lot more recently, kind of getting my skills back up and actually trying to improve my skills as well, where I hadn't touched it for so long. I'm actually trying to advance myself more. And right now the YouTube channel is kind of a little bit of a standstill. But I'm planning not to do it for very long. Just trying to, get things back up and whatnot. But I feel like over the past month or so, I felt like a whole shift or change in myself of wanting to be more out there in terms of flying and stuff. Because there for a while I think I was kind of depressed, I guess, maybe a little bit depressed. Because I just wasn't getting out and doing much in terms of the hobby. I wanted to talk about it, and I still want to talk about it, but I feel like it was overcoming everything and overwhelming me, and just to the point that I just wasn't feeling the energy to get out and fly and do things. And like I said, I felt there's a big change with that. I feel like here recently I've been the opposite. I'm thinking I want to get out and fly and stuff, right? You know, so I think right now things are going pretty good with that. And hoping to have some more action here soon. So we're getting there and all that good stuff. Okay. Let me quit rambling here for a second and, get back to things. All right, guys. Well, like I said, if you have any questions or anything, please reach out to me. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. And also, just like I said, check me out on YouTube as well. I don't have a set plan yet, but there will be some new content coming up soon, as far as what's going on in the RC world with me. So, all right, guys. Well, that's it for me. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.